God, I greet everybody in Jesus' name. Thank you for those signals that that I'm coming through fine. Well, once again, we are back in the among the congregation of the saints of God, and we take this opportunity to greet each and every one of you with a holy greeting, with a sincere and heartfelt Christian greetings, because it is our faith is precious to us. Praise God. And though we are separated because of geography, we know that it is only temporary, praise God. Because when the Lord will return, as the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, any day now, at any time, the trumpet of God will sound, the archangel will come down with the Lord in the cloud, and we which are alive and remain, praise God, the Bible said, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. There will be no more geographical divisions, no more racial divisions, no more language barriers, no more cultural barriers. Praise God. We will all be together forever with Jesus Christ. Praise God. It is because of this hope that we serve God day and night. Praise God. Because we have a hope that Jesus Christ our Lord is fixing to return soon. Praise God. And so we are here to prepare ourselves, to do the best we can. Jesus said in the Bible, He has given talents to His people, amen. And we have to employ those talents to make a good profit for Him, praise God. So, I greet everybody, we welcome you, and we are working hard on many fronts for the work of God, and we know that this labor is not in vain, praise God. And we are very happy to have all of you in this room coming regularly, faithfully. You also challenge us to keep working hard for God, to give our best for God. Praise God. Amen. So without further ado, once again, I want to launch straight into the Word of God. And I want to follow up with our last discussion we had of last Sunday, where we started tread, we were talking about the flesh of Jesus, praise God, amen. And for those of you who have been with us for some time now, we have been having a series of Bible studies on the thorny issues, difficult theological issues, which Trinitarians might raise, and I've put them all up on our website. Sometimes maybe a few days later, but sooner or later I come around to putting them up, because we believe that it is the will of God that this is the best channel that we have to spread this truth all over the world. And I'm very happy to report to you that in just about 2 months we have more than 20 countries that have come and looked at our website. And the last one, as I said, is even from the Middle East, from the Arabian nations. Some people are coming in, and this is wonderful news, and we are very happy for that, praise God. So keep praying for the website, and if you want to, feel free to download some of those series of Bible studies. You might feel free to give it a title, but you can put it together, bind it in a little booklet, and feel free to use it as a Bible teaching manual, or feel free to send it to different people, praise God. So this is what we are doing. We want to send some to Ghana and to other places where we are taking this doctrine, and I believe the Lord will bless it. But now we are going to start a new series by the grace of God. Everything is dependent on the Lord Himself. But this series will be focusing on the flesh of Jesus, praise God. And whenever we have discussions, somebody raises questions like the two gentlemen the other day, it's difficult to do justice to the whole subject, because it's a very comprehensive subject. It is very vast, and we need to tackle each issue one by one, praise God. So today, by the grace of God, I want to start this Bible study with the title of this series is Heavenly Flesh or Earthly Flesh, praise God. Heavenly Flesh or Earthly Flesh. And the first subtopic that I want to deal with is the seed of the woman, praise God. This is a series, as I said, the next time we could tackle the seed of Abraham, and then the seed of David, and so on and so forth. But each one is a vast subject, and we need to do justice to it by focusing on one subject at a time. So today, by the grace of God, I want to talk on the subject, the seed of the woman. And what does that mean? Praise God. I first want to just share a little background information on this subject. I want to put it on a more personal term to help to understand the need for understanding the subject. We have to understand, I think some brothers and sisters probably in the room hail from a country or a place where the faith, the doctrine of the heavenly flesh has always been preached. And so sometimes, with all respect, it's not easy to fully understand what the other side believes. Because I know personally, some years ago, I first came into contact with the heavenly flesh doctrine only when I traveled to Ethiopia and met Pastor Tekle Mariam. Because prior to that, we were in fellowship affiliation with the Apostolic Church of Ethiopia, but we were absolutely unaware of this difference. It was never shared with us, although this fellowship had been going on for some time. But I want to try to, because for 10 years I have been with this organization that believes the flesh of Jesus is from Mary. So I'm kind of placed in a way where for 10 years that was what I believed, that was what I propounded, and that is the area I, in fact, used to teach in that church. So I want to try to today to first start off with trying to put into perspective the challenge that is before us. You see, the mainstream world today believes that the flesh of Jesus is from human nature. It is from humanity. Biologically, genetically, it is from Mary. But there is a lot more to it, and I think you need to, I'll try with the help of the Lord to first try to help you to understand how we used to believe before. Of course, we know that we were in error, and we thank God that He has removed that cloud of confusion, but you cannot help those people until you first put yourself in their shoes, praise God. And so that is why, for the benefit of those people who believe that the flesh of Jesus is from Mary, I want to have this Bible study, praise God. And it's not only for the oneness people, it is also for the Trinitarians, because the mainstream Christianity, the majority of them believe that Jesus Christ was a human being like you and like me. So we need to first understand how they think, and then I'll come with some scriptures by the grace of God. So the subject is the seed of the woman. Now, the whole purpose is to explore and investigate the revelation of the origin of the saving flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. It is, in my humble opinion, a fallacy. It is false to hold that the flesh of Jesus is consubstantial. That means of the same substance with human flesh, which is inherited from Adam. So I encourage us, let us adopt a Berean spirit of inquiry, and let us approach the scriptures. And I do not doubt that they will divulge their secrets, which are essential for our salvation. Because, you know, in the Bible, God never says to us, seek Him in vain. I want to read a scripture, Isaiah 45, verse 19, just to prepare us to adopt a Berean spirit. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, and verse 19, the Bible says, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Praise God. Today, brothers and sisters, we have this hope. We know we are not seeking God in vain. God never tells anybody to seek Him in vain. That means without reason. When you seek Him, you will definitely find Him. Praise God. Amen. So, we are also commanded in the Bible to contend for the faith, which is the objective of this article. I want to read from the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 3. Jude chapter 1 verse 3, it is always good to outline what we are doing. What is the objective? Praise God. Jude chapter 1 verse 3, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Praise God. What a wonderful scripture. You see, we are commanded in the Bible to contend. Contend is to spiritually fight for the faith, praise God, which was once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. And what we are doing is we are just continuing the tradition of the apostles, praise God. So let us launch straight into the subject, into the core of it. The seed of the woman. The first thing is, does it imply a bloodline? That is the first question. Does it imply a bloodline? You see, mainstream Christianity believes that Jesus is a genuine, bona fide human being like you or me. Except, they say, without sin. You see, one reason they are so inclined to believe this is because of their understanding of the following scripture, which is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis 3 and 15 is really the root of the problem. It is not the scripture which is the problem, but it is their understanding of it. So, the crux of the problem. If you want to help a person who believes that seed of the woman implies a bloodline connection from the woman to Jesus, then you got to start with Genesis 3:15, which happens to also be the first prophecy in the Bible. It said, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see, biblical exegetes, those who explain the Bible, they tell us that the word seed, which is called zera in Hebrew, and sperma in Greek, may refer to either agricultural seed, semen, or children, whether they are plural or singular. So, it's very clear that the original connotation, the way that the word seed is used in the Bible, is varied. Sometimes it is just agricultural seed. At other times, it is human seed. That is what we call semen, sperm. And lastly, there is also, it speaks generally about a whole line of human beings who are descended through somebody. So it's very important to keep this at the back of your head when we approach the subject. Because sound principles of hermeneutics, which is the discipline of Bible interpretation, we call it Bible hermeneutics, demands that the context determines the meaning. So before we jump to any conclusions when we read the Bible, Bible hermeneutics demands that we look at the context. So just because we read the seed of the woman, we should not jump to conclusion that this is a bloodline. So the first objection that I want to raise against the traditional interpretation that the mainstream Christianity has is that a woman does not have any seed whatsoever. Now, in medical terms today, a woman might have egg. A woman has egg, but seed is always associated with the male. Please keep that in mind. So the woman in question is obviously Mary in Genesis 3:15, who was espoused to Joseph. Now it is a tenet of our belief and our faith to acknowledge that she gave birth to Jesus while still a virgin. So all evidence seems to indicate that the seed was actually placed in her womb from an exterior source, which is God Himself. You see, she herself was completely puzzled and baffled by the promise of a child, and she asked Gabriel in Luke 1 verse 35, she said, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, let me be bold enough to say that God was declaring to Mary the terms or conditions under which she was to serve as a surrogate mother for His own flesh and blood, His own Son. Praise God. Hallelujah. That might be a very bold way of putting it today, but really and truly that is what is happening. Amen. God sent Gabriel to come down to Mary, and He was declaring the conditions to her. Praise God. Amen. In other words, woman, amen, you might be blessed and everything might be wonderful. God has chosen you. But please, Mary, keep in mind, hallelujah, that this has nothing to do with you. In other words, praise God. In other words, I'm sorry to use this language, but the angel was telling Mary, he's saying, listen, are you willing, praise God, amen, to sign a contract, make an agreement with God that you are going to reserve your womb, praise God, amen. You are under contract going to keep your womb, praise God, for God to plant His own seed into it, praise God, amen. This work is from God, it is for God, praise God. You are to have no relations with Joseph, you are going to be a surrogate mother, praise God. And if you keep all these conditions, you will be blessed, hallelujah. So, you see, when she was offered such a contract, such a term, praise God, amen, she could only rejoice, and she called Jesus her own Savior, praise God. If you see in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 46 and verse 47, the Bible says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit had rejoiced in God my Savior, praise God. Do you see how Mary understood that actually the word seed of God itself, praise God, the Zera Yahweh, amen, the sperma Jehovah, hallelujah, the word of God, the most powerful, amen, hallelujah, creative force in the universe, praise God, was about to now come down and descend and be planted in her womb, hallelujah. How can any woman say no to such a contract? How can any woman, praise God, amen, hallelujah, ever hesitate, amen, to go along and say, praise God, that she is chosen and she is blessed? She said, all generations will call me blessed from now, praise God, amen, hallelujah. So the next point is, Mary is a surrogate mother. The word surrogate means that you are in place of another. Amen. You see, we must comprehend that Mary's womb was dry and barren by virtue of her being a virgin. You see, she might have had egg in her physiology, in her body, but that egg was completely useless. Amen. She would have died if she would have stayed a virgin, and in the end would never have a child if there had been no seed planted into a womb, or the seed of Joseph had come and in a sense fertilized with her egg. And we see that while she is a virgin, the prophet Isaiah foresaw her condition. 700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah, through the Spirit of God, looked down, hallelujah, the hundreds of years that were between him and Mary, and he understood that the supernatural act of God, hallelujah, was going to be demonstrated, a supernatural act. God was going to plant His own word seed in her dry womb, praise God. However, brothers and sisters, Isaiah lamented the fact that many would miss the origin of the flesh of Jesus when he proclaimed so eloquently. And I read from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 and 2. You see, Isaiah prophesied. He said, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I want you to listen carefully to the wording now. You see, Isaiah knew that nobody was going to believe that this, I mean, he didn't say nobody's going to believe, but he was lamenting the fact that for the first time in the history of humanity, the word seed of God, the creative power of God, which said, let there be light in the beginning, praise God, was now going to descend in the womb of a woman, praise God, amen. This was an act by God, for God, of God, amen, without the help of humanity, amen. This was fantastic, this was unprecedented in the salvific history of humankind. But the prophet Isaiah laments and he cries out, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is also the seed of God. Hallelujah. The word of God, which is Jesus. And notice what he said after that. For he, that is Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant. You see, a plant, when he's now speaking about the portion of the plant which grows above the surface. So that part is okay. Jesus grew up as a tender plant. But the next part will blow your mind, praise God. It actually, this part is what really and truly proves that the flesh of Jesus is from heaven, praise God. It has nothing to do with humanity. Because he said, and as a root out of dry ground, praise God. Brothers and sisters, it is an impossibility that a plant can have a root which goes down into dry ground. Amen. It does not become a tender plant. Yes, you might have seen some cactus in the desert, which the cactus which is a prickly and thorny plant, but that is not a tender plant. Amen. So, the thing is, here is a tender plant. It is above the surface of the earth. It looks tender. It looks leafy. It looks wonderful. But then when you look at its root under the ground, it is the ground is totally dry and barren. What a paradox, hallelujah. If you understand this beautiful, poetic, metaphorical picture that the prophet Isaiah paints, you will understand the origin of Jesus, praise God. So if you take this picture now and you transfer it to Jesus Christ our Lord, let me paint the beautiful picture, praise God. Yes, Jesus, hallelujah, was a tender plant, amen. We don't even know what he did the first 30 years, but he kept a low profile, amen. He was obedient to Mary and Joseph, hallelujah. He was indeed a tender plant, praise God, amen. But the next part is beautiful, hallelujah. It says he's a root out of dry ground, hallelujah. You see, the scripture proves right here that Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah, did not have his source in Mary, amen, because she was a virgin. And in Israel, if a woman was a virgin, she was also often compared to a dry ground. She was sometimes called barren, even though she was a virgin. And that is why they used to marry so quickly in Israel in those days, praise God. So I think you're beginning to see this beautiful mystery here, praise God, hallelujah, which is tremendous, amen. And I want to show you in the book of Hosea, chapter 9. In the book of Hosea, chapter 9, I want to show, if we can look at verse 11. Hosea 9, verse 11 says, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth, and from the womb, and from the conception, amen. And you see, you come down to verse 14. He said, give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. And verse 16 is beautiful. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. So we see in verse 16 that when the Jews could not have children, they often use the expression, their root is dried up, hallelujah. So to say that somebody's root is dry in Israel meant they could have no children. And so you take that and you put it in Isaiah 53 verse 1 and 2, where he said, and as a root out of dry ground, hallelujah. So this is what people find hard to believe today. They find it hard to believe that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, amen, did not need to take anything from Mary, praise God. He was complete in himself. He was the seed of God. He had life in him, praise God, amen. He could just generate life right from inside of himself. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So how aptly, how beautifully the prophet Isaiah describes the virgin birth, a root out of dry ground. There is no better poetic and metaphorical language that we can muster to describe this unique and unprecedented phenomenon. Praise God. Now let's go to another part of this, the seed of the woman that we are trying to explore and investigate right now. You see, seed is used spiritually and denotes Jesus' seed also. I'm going to show you that seed is very often used spiritually in the Bible. Amen. And we're going to talk about the seed of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let us keep in mind that Satan has only spiritual seed and not physical. So hence when God declared in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 that Satan's seed would bruise the heel of the woman's seed, we are forced to conclude that the Bible sometimes employs the word seed in a purely symbolic manner. Amen. Because remember in Genesis 3:15, the scripture said, the seed of the serpent. Now we know the serpent is Satan. So it cannot be a physical, literal seed that God is speaking about. It has to be a spiritual seed. Amen. So we've got to understand, the reason I mention this is because some people think that the seed of the woman has to always, the word seed always has to mean bloodline. That means from Mary's substance, from her physical body. But the problem is, what about the seed of the serpent? Is that not symbolic? Is that not spiritual? So we got to be careful. We got to look at the context before we determine the answer. Now let us look at Isaiah 53 and verse 10. In the book of Isaiah 53 and verse 10, the Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Praise God. So we see here, brothers and sisters, that Isaiah is saying in this verse right here that Jesus will see his own seed. Praise God. So this scripture actually states that Jesus would have seed. Now, here indeed is confirmation that our Lord himself shall have seed. So it is a marvelous truth to affirm that Jesus, who is the Word seed of God, can and he does give birth to spiritual children who receive his body in the waters of baptism. Praise God. Thus, it is my conviction that the seed of the woman does not mean that Jesus received any genetic material from Mary, but rather, Jesus is the seed himself. He is complete in every conceivable manner today. Praise God. He has, in other words, everything that it takes to give birth to new children who are procreated, who are born in his own image. Hallelujah. My point is, in case somebody has missed it, you see, Isaiah 53 verse 10, if you study it, it says that Jesus will see his seed. So, for mainstream Christianity and some oneness people who believe the word seed always means physical, a bloodline seed, they're going to run into a problem. Because I do believe in this case right here, that we, when we are born again, when we are put on the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism, we really become the bloodline of Christ. That is a fact. But my point here is, Jesus is seed in himself. Hallelujah. He can give birth by himself. God does not need to borrow flesh, does not need to intermingle, does not need to, God forbid, copulate or have relations with any woman for him, praise God, to produce children. Hallelujah. God is seed. And that seed was planted in the womb of Mary. And when the fullness of time came, that word seed began, it has the blueprint inside itself, praise God. Hallelujah. The whole blueprint for how Jesus was going to look, how tall he was going to be, praise God, hallelujah, how holy his flesh should be, the divine substance. You see, Jesus is what we could say today is God material. Praise God. His flesh is God material. Hallelujah. And who determines that? The blueprint which is in the Word of God. Hallelujah. He does not need help from anybody. This is what the denominational world has totally misunderstood. And they have limited God. They have undermined the power of the seed of God, the Word of God. And they made it necessary somehow that God has to come in flesh, human flesh, like you and me. But that would defeat the whole purpose. Now, let us look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18. The book of Genesis chapter 22 verse 18 says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Praise God. Notice that God gave this promise to Abraham, that it is in his seed that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. What does this mean today? The answer is found in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 16, where the apostle Paul said, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Praise God. So Paul elaborates and helps us to understand this prophecy which was given to Abraham, that through the seed of Abraham, who is Jesus Christ, praise God, all nations of the world would be blessed. Now, how can that happen today? The answer is simple. Because the word seed of God has life in itself, praise God. John chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us, puts it so beautifully, praise God, when he said, in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So we got to understand today that God is seed. And in that seed, or in that word, there is everything. We are complete in him, as the apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. Praise God. He said, verse 9 and 10, he said, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So in other words, in this seed, which is God, there is completion. There is everything that God needs to produce spiritual children like you and me, praise God, in his own image, hallelujah, without the help of anybody, hallelujah. And then we look at the book of Romans chapter 9 and verse 7. The book of Romans chapter 9 verse 7 says, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Hallelujah. And we look at verse 8, "That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." Praise God. I want you to notice that here the apostle Paul uses the word seed in another manner. He uses it, he transfers it, and gives it new spiritual meaning. Praise God. He said, "Not everybody who is of the bloodline of Abraham is the seed of Abraham." Praise God. And verse 8, he puts it so beautifully, "The children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." Praise God. You see, that is why we say that yes, Jesus can be called the seed of the woman. But please understand that when we say that, we are talking about the promised seed, hallelujah, which has nothing to do with human genetics, hallelujah, amen. In fact, it would be a blasphemy to insinuate that Jesus mixed his flesh or got a portion of his flesh from the flesh of humanity. Because how can you circumvent, how can you run away from the pollution that is in the human gene pool, praise God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, there's a famous hydrologist who is also a theologian in America. He also, I think he's passed away now, but he was the head of an organization by the name of International Creation Research. It is an organization of scientists who believe in the Bible, and they are well known And this man is a hydrologist, and he wrote an article some years ago which very much impressed me, and I forwarded it to Brother Tekle Mariam. And this article said, this man is a well-known man in his field, and they're an organization, like I said, of many tremendously competent scientists. And he said that he refuses to believe that the flesh of Jesus Christ could have taken anything from humanity. The reason, he said, is because there is a well-known fact today scientifically that the human gene pool, that means all of humanity, the human gene pool contains very many severe defects, he said. Have you ever heard, I'm sure you're familiar with, you might have read about it in newspapers, you might have unfortunately met somebody or know somebody who's told you that this problem, this physical defect, this heart problem runs in my family. The question is, which family? And what we are talking about is really a history of this illness. This is a defect, that's right, of DNA, which seems to actually be a part of the human gene pool as far back as you can go. You can't escape it. It is latent. It is there. There is the potential. And we don't know what we can be, what we are predisposed to, what kind of diseases. But this man made a thorough research, and he said that Jesus could not have taken anything from humanity because the Lamb of God was to be without sin, without a defect. Hear me now. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you believe Jesus was a human being like you and me, you got a severe problem, because the Lamb of God, whenever they took a lamb on the day of Yom Kippur, praise God, and the high priest was to lay his hand on the scapegoat, they call it the scapegoat, and it was sent out into the wilderness, amen, and it took the whole sin of Israel. These lambs, these bullocks, they were to be without defect. The high priest was to do a thorough examination, brothers and sisters. They were to look behind the ears. They were to look at their hoofs. They were to look at every portion of their body, praise God. They were to have a complete health check, so to speak, to make sure that there was no visible defect, praise God. Why? Because they represented the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who was going to come in His own flesh and blood, praise God, hallelujah. And He was to be perfect, He was to be sinless, there is to be no defect in Him, genetically, physically, in any way, praise God, hallelujah. I submit to you that our Savior, hallelujah, when He went to the cross at Calvary, praise God, amen, there was no sin in Him, there was no defect in Him, He was the most perfect man who came in flesh ever, hallelujah, praise God, amen, hallelujah. What a wonderful truth, amen, praise God. That is why Jesus never showed solidarity with the human race. He said He is from above. He said, I come from the Father, hallelujah, amen, and I go back to the Father, praise God, amen. Our Lamb of God is without defect because He did not partake of the human gene pool. God bless Dr. Henry Morris for that, praise God. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Here we see again that Jesus is the real seed who was to come by promise. Please understand that there is a seed which is to come by promise. That means, if I were to promise you something, later, you cannot take the credit for saying that it originated with you. And so, if we take this and apply it to Mary, the word seed, the word of God, was promised to her, hallelujah, that it would come from God and would be planted in her womb from God. That is why it is correct today to call Jesus the promised word seed, hallelujah. He's promised to her. He's promised not only to her, He has promised to the whole of humanity. Praise God. Amen. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, the Bible said, "And if ye be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Praise God. So, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Here we have clear proof, surefire proof, that it has nothing to do with bloodline, brothers and sisters, praise God. Every time we see the word seed, we have to be a little bit careful. Yes, today we are from the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. But when we hear the word, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, it is not physical seed. Because today we are being called the seed of Abraham. Does it mean that we are physical Jews today? Does it mean that we are of the stock, of the kind of physical Israel? Absolutely not. So we see that the New Testament uses the word seed in a different context. Hallelujah. So, having established that, let me go further to the next point. It is also very important to note that one of the intrinsic qualities and nature of seed is to reproduce after its own kind. Praise God. Let me repeat that again. This is very important to bring out the message. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm happy that there are agriculturists in the room. Praise God. That can appreciate this maybe more than me even. Praise God. Because they know the workings of agriculture and the blessings of nature. Amen. But you see, this mystery of the seed reproducing its own kind deserves some closer scrutiny. You see, the mystery of the complete seed is found even in nature today. Every seed has the potential for procreation and giving birth. Hallelujah. You see, the next generation is found in the seed. Hallelujah. Every human being who is walking around today, every woman has an egg, every man has a seed, unless they are sterile. But let's say that, they're not sterile. They go around. Do you know that if the earth was to continue 500 years, we are carrying the future generation in our seed and our egg. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, the Bible also says that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek while he was still in the loins of Abraham. It's very interesting to study this. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7 verse 9 and 10. Hebrews 7 verse 9 and 10 says, "And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." Now this is very interesting. You know, there was a distance of some probably 500 years or so between Levi and, not that many, let's say 300-400-500, somewhere there between Levi and Abraham. But the Apostle Paul is writing in the book of Hebrews that Levi was paying tithing to Abraham while he was in the loins of Abraham. The word loins means while he was in the seed, so to speak, of Abraham. Praise God. Hallelujah. So thus we note that Levi is said to be in Abraham. Where am I going with this? Folks, God commanded in the beginning that all creation would carry their own seed and have the potential to reproduce after their own kind. Look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 before I come to the point. Genesis 1 verse 11 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself." I want to repeat that. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Hallelujah. And if we just combine the scripture quickly with the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 38. 1 Corinthians 15:38 said, "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Hallelujah. So it is of utmost importance to emphasize that they had the power to reproduce after their own kind. This fact must also be transferred to God. God can only reproduce after His own kind. Hallelujah. God is seed. In biblical language right now here, the Bible calls Jesus the word seed. When that word seed was put in the womb of Mary, should we not also give God the courtesy, give Him, hallelujah, this amount of respect and courtesy to say that when the seed of God reproduced, when it germinated, hallelujah, God reproduced after His own kind, hallelujah. His seed can only generate God's seed and a God man, praise God, whose flesh and whose blood is God material, divine, celestial, praise God. You see, it is this which prompted Jesus to protest that He is from heaven and not from below of this earthly, base, corrupt material that sinful man is made from. Hallelujah. How can we say Jesus is from this dust upon which we spit, upon which we urinate, we defecate, God forbid, and then we are making an idol, brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. It is like the people that Isaiah rebuked. He said they go and they chop the wood and then they burn some of it for fire and then they use a little bit for decoration and then they take the remaining and they worship it and they say, this is my God, and they bow down before it. God forbid, hallelujah, praise God. Our Jesus is not an idol, hallelujah. You know, all these idols, I was in a Hindu temple once in connection with my degree, with the religion that I'm studying. And it was horrible to see what is going on in there. Every statue made out of the dust of the earth, and they walked on it, they spat on it, they urinated on it, and now they take that same piece of earth and put it together, and then they make it holy, they hallow it, and they bow down, and they say, this is my God. This is not our Jesus, brothers and sisters, praise God, amen. Our Jesus is of God material. He is divine. He Himself said in John chapter 6 verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Hallelujah. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Amen. Thank God today that we are not worshipping an idol. We are not worshipping a man who is made of clay. We are not worshipping a man, hallelujah, who is made out of, who has participated in our defect gene pool. Praise God. Amen. And Jesus continued in John 8 verse 23 when He said, and He said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul sealed this revelation with these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 47 when he said, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The Greek word earthy is koikos, which is literally a heap of dust, praise God. But the second man, brothers and sisters, is the Lord from heaven, praise God, amen. Let us agree with the prophets and the apostles and say that the second man is from heaven, praise God, hallelujah, amen. So, having established that every seed reproduces after its own kind, and therefore, Jesus can only be God kind. He can only be of the kind of God. Hallelujah. We got to go one step forward. And I'm going to show that God rejects any consubstantiality with humanity. The word consubstantiality means of the same origin, of the same sharing, the same substance. But God rejects consubstantiality with humanity. You see, it is a preposterous idea to suggest that Jesus was part fully human and fully divine, as the Council of Chalcedon stated in AD 451. You see, God has always declared that He will not share His glory with another. In the book of Isaiah 42 verse 8, the Bible said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Hallelujah. Please note that down very carefully. God is refuting he is point blank rejecting any suggestion that he is to share his glory with anybody, especially not to a graven image. Hallelujah. If Jesus was from the material of Mary, then we would have to admit that he is from the dust. And therefore, he would be an idol. And what shall we say about the sacrifice of Jesus then? Would we be not forced to admit that God actually allowed a human being like you and me to be sacrificed on the cross? Is God not against human sacrifice? Are we kind of advocating human sacrifice once again, which is detestable in the sight of God, which is abominable in the sight of God? Hallelujah. Jesus, brothers and sisters, is not a human being like you and me, praise God. He was a man, yes, but he was a heavenly man, praise God, amen, hallelujah. And therefore, he could claim without any guilt to be God and accepted worship, praise God, amen, hallelujah, praise God. You see, even when he stood and came before the demons, he did not ask the demons to worship him. But they came and fell down before him, praise God, because they knew who he is, hallelujah. They knew, amen, that he was not part human and part God, part divine and part human, praise God. They called him the Holy One, amen, because they saw that he was not divided. They saw that his flesh and his blood is of the substance of God, amen. When they looked at his flesh, they saw God's flesh, praise God. In the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 34, from verse 33, the Bible says, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." You see, the demons saw only one person, amen. They did not see a dual nature, as some oneness people advocate. They did not see a Trinity in unity, amen, as some Trinitarians advocate, praise God. They did not see a little or a small God, as some Jehovah's Witnesses advocate, praise God. But what the demons saw was one person, and they call him the Holy One of Israel, praise God, hallelujah. This is one of the few times that the devil was forced to tell the truth, and you better be clever enough, hallelujah, to pick up on that truth, because it's not every day that the devil will tell you the truth, praise God. Let's look at the next one in the book of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. The book of Isaiah 26 verse 19 says, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they rise," praise God. "Awake and sing, you that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead," praise God. You see, in this verse here, 700 years before the coming of Christ, God himself called the body of Jesus his own body, amen. He said, "Your dead men shall live together with my dead body," hallelujah. You see, dead or alive, praise God, that body belongs to God, amen, hallelujah, amen. You see, when somebody dies sometimes in our modern society today, because of the effects of the chemicals or whatever, fire or whatever has mutilated their bodies, we remember the tsunamis that struck in Southeast Asia, and many of the bodies were damaged beyond recognition, and they had to do DNA tests to find out who belonged to who. And some of, you know, the relatives had to travel down there and try to recognize their relatives. Brothers and sisters, the body of Jesus belongs to God. Hallelujah. It is his. He claims it. Amen. And it belongs to nobody else. Hallelujah. God the Father said, "Your dead men will live with my dead body." Praise God. So Joseph of Arimathea might have tried to place it here and there, but when the third day came, God the Father, who is Spirit, entered into his own flesh and blood, praise God, because it belongs to him. It is of his substance, praise God, amen. You see, furthermore, the subtopic was God rejects any consubstantiality with humanity. Job, the patriarch, challenges the person who entertains the idea that something pure and sinless can be conjured up from a corrupt and sin-tainted prototype. In simple English, in Job 14 verse 4, Job said, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." Job 25 verse 4 to 6 says, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm?" Praise God. So we see in all of these scriptures here, praise God, it is not possible, brothers and sisters, to mingle together holy and unholy. Right from the beginning, our God was trying to demonstrate to us and communicate to us that our God is a holy God. His holiness is so holy, it really is beyond imagination. We don't fully know what is holy. We can never fully know how holy God is until we go to heaven, brothers and sisters. But it is sufficient to remind you that the Bible said that in the beginning the earth was filled and covered with darkness. But when God began to move, the first thing He did was He made a separation, praise God, hallelujah. God is in the business of separation, praise God. He separated the light from darkness. He separated the land from the water, praise God. God is always in the business of separating. He told Adam, "Hey man, you are man," praise God. "And the woman is a woman. There are roles to play." He said in Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, hallelujah, "It is an abomination for the woman to wear a man's clothes, and a man to wear woman's clothing," praise God. Because our God is, hallelujah, Kadosh in Hebrew means holy, hallelujah. And He cannot dwell. He is not comfortable when there is no separation, brothers and sisters, praise God, hallelujah. So we got to do our best, amen, to walk with this God who is holy, hallelujah. He had to destroy the old world in the days of Noah, hallelujah, because it was so polluted, it was so corrupt, hallelujah, amen, praise God. You see, the children of Israel lived in the land of Goshen, which was separate from the rest of Egypt, because the Egyptians were filled with abominations, praise God, amen, hallelujah. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So this God, who is in the business of separation, praise God, how can we dare to insinuate that He came down and casually mixed with corrupt material? It defies our imagination, praise God. But we too were once in this darkness, praise God, amen. And I thank God today for this revelation, amen. And we have to shout it from the rooftops. We have to take it to every corner of the world, praise God. You see, the next point is the power of the word seed, amen. Due to the impossibility of circumventing this theological dilemma, God allowed His own word to be planted as a seed in the womb of a woman. This is what is meant by the seed of the woman. It is not her own seed. It doesn't belong to Joseph either, but was God's creative, life-giving power. You see, Jesus Himself compared the Word of God to seed. Especially if you remember in the parables, let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. The book of Matthew 13, verse 23, and then verse 24. Jesus said, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Verse 24, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Praise God. And when we look at Luke chapter 8 verse 11, it states very clearly, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." Praise God. The revelation is so clear. We got to understand, when we say today, the seed of the woman, then we are talking about the word of God. Praise God. That is what Luke 8 verse 11 says. The seed is the word of God. It is this word of God which was planted in the womb of the woman. Amen. Because a woman has no seed. Praise God. Let us look at another part, another subtopic, Melchizedek and Jesus. Praise God. You see, we got to understand, Jesus came in the order of Melchizedek. I want to use this example of Melchizedek to again bring forth this fact that Jesus is the Word seed. Amen. He has no father, no mother. You will recall that this mysterious high priest called Melchizedek, who suddenly appeared out of nowhere to Abraham, had no earthly father or mother. You see, Jesus is clearly without earthly parents too, because in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 3, we read, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." Praise God. Remember that Melchizedek was a theophany. By that we mean a temporary divine manifestation of Jesus prior, before the coming of the Word made flesh. We do not believe that Jesus was pre-existent. But what we see is that there is a type and shadow teaching. Just like the Lamb of God was a type and shadow teaching in the days of Moses, we see that Melchizedek offered Abraham his flesh and blood, which symbolized bread and wine. So the author of the book of Hebrews, in my opinion, is stressing the fact that Jesus, like Melchizedek, can offer us his flesh and blood because he has no earthly parents, praise God, but was from the Spirit of God, amen, as the Bible consistently declares, amen. So when we see Melchizedek standing before Abraham with wine and with bread, and he is offering it to Abraham, we have to understand, amen, that this is a type and shadow teaching of Jesus Christ, because it is only Jesus who has wine and bread to offer us today, which is his flesh and his blood. And you see, Melchizedek had no father, he had no mother, which proves that this person, Melchizedek, was actually foreshadowing the coming of Jesus, amen. Because it is only one who has no father or mother of this earthly, corrupt dust and earth who can give us his flesh and blood. Because his flesh and blood is from the Holy Spirit, praise God. It is holy, it is powerful, it is efficacious, praise God. It can remove sins, it can give you eternal life, it can heal you, praise God. It can revive you, it can restore you, praise God, amen. And this is what, hallelujah, the apostle is saying in the book of Hebrews, hallelujah, that Jesus is like Melchizedek, hallelujah, without father, without mother, hallelujah. What he means by that is without earthly mother or father, praise God, amen. Because we don't know whose father, who was Melchizedek's father or mother also, praise Jesus, amen. Let us look at the last part today, praise God. Discerning the flesh of Jesus truthfully, praise God. We started with the Word made seed, the seed of the woman, amen. That was just the focus today. For those who joined us a bit late, I started a series on the flesh of Jesus. Of course, prompted and motivated by the last discussion which we had in the room on Sunday. But the topic is heavenly flesh or earthly flesh. And this is a very comprehensive subject. So we cannot deal with every portion, we cannot do justice to every part, but we have started today with the seed of the woman, praise God. And I want to conclude the seed of the woman. Next time it will be the seed of the seed of Abraham. What does that mean? But today so far I believe we've understood the seed of the woman has nothing to do with the woman, because the woman doesn't have seed. It is the promised Word seed of God, praise God. Brother Tekle Mariam calls him the God-man, the promised Word seed, which was planted in the womb of the woman, praise God. But let's look at the last one to bring it to a conclusion. We, brothers and sisters, have to discern the flesh of Jesus truthfully. As a minister, it is our duty to leave you with a godly caution today to disregard the flesh of Jesus, or to consider it to be from perishable material like human flesh, is so grave a sin that the Apostle Paul warns us that the consequences can vary from sickness to death. This is very serious. Let me read a scripture from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 to verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 to 31. He said, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this is a very sobering scripture. And I want to tell you that we've had, I should say, a very sober warning some years ago, because there was an organization that made fun of this doctrine and said that the flesh of Jesus is not from heaven. And they said some very blasphemous things. God forgive them for that. But I personally know three of them who were most active in trying to reject and condemn and ridicule this teaching. And within a space of 3 months, all three of them, two of them died of a heart attack, well-known ministers. And one of them became very seriously sick. He got a stroke from which he has almost never recovered. I'm not saying this in exaggeration. We know who they are. We're not saying this to scare anybody, but we've been following with this case, and we have enough. I can give you many examples to assure you that this is a doctrine not to be trifled with, praise God. It is the flesh of God. We got to respect it. We got to speak with love and respect and honor of the flesh of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I remember Brother Ayele, one of the ministers in Ethiopia, once told me, Brother Paul, said it's very sad and very hurtful for him to hear when ministers speak about the flesh of Jesus as if it is some kind of a material to be dissected and to be scrutinized in a laboratory. He said, this is our salvation. And I remember the expression in his face, the expression in his eyes, and I knew that he sincerely meant what he was saying. Praise God. We sometimes are guilty, brothers and sisters, of trifling with the flesh of Jesus. The Apostle Paul left us with a severe warning. He said, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily." And notice the word he said, "not discerning the Lord's body." The Greek word actually says, "without having appropriate knowledge of the Lord's body." In other words, if we don't know the origin of the body of Jesus, if we do not understand what he was saying in John chapter 6 verse 51, that he came down from heaven, he is the living bread which came down from heaven, praise God, we are in trouble. Without the manna, the children of Israel would have died in the desert. Jesus is the true manna which came down from heaven. If we do not love that manna, if we do not respect that manna, we will die, praise God, because it is our only hope, hallelujah. It is our only salvation, praise God, amen, hallelujah, amen. It is a gift of God, hallelujah, to the whole of humanity. There is no greater gift to us today, praise God. So thanks be to God that we have this life-saving truth today, praise God. The origin of the flesh of Jesus is no longer a mystery, but a truth to be held in reverence and awe, praise God, amen. There is a brother that I know personally who is a minister, hallelujah, in the nation of Kenya, but I will not say more, and he believed in this doctrine, and he was always playing games, and he was in the business of money. And one day I met him and I told him, if you continue this way, God will never bless you. You know the truth, praise God, and it's your duty to preach that the flesh of Jesus is from heaven. And this brother, the last I heard, he's become blind, or he's on his way to becoming blind. God have mercy, praise God. We got to be careful with the blood of Jesus, with the flesh of Jesus, hallelujah, amen. Let us exalt him. Let us say that he is the second man from heaven, praise God, amen, amen. And we love those who might believe otherwise, but we are not in any mood. We are not in any humor today to compromise this doctrine, praise God. You can kick us out of every church of the world, praise God. But we will live and we will die with this truth, praise God, amen. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, His flesh, praise God. Please look carefully at the scripture. It is so clear. It is so beautiful. He said, today, verse 20 says, "By a new and living way." Notice, what is this new and living way by which we can enter heaven? It is through the veil. That is to say, His flesh, praise God. You see, today, the flesh of Jesus is called a new and living way. If the flesh of Jesus is from Mary, how can it be a new and living way? If it is from the dust, what is new about it? But you see, the apostle called it a new and living way, praise God. It is new because it is the kind of God. It is the seed of God. It is the stock of God, praise God. It is the substance of God, praise God. Amen. Never a man spake like Him, and never was there a flesh like His flesh, praise God. So I conclude with the three verses that I'm going to read now, praise God. Amen. These verses will put it more clearly than any amount of preaching or polemics, praise God, that the flesh of Jesus is unique and it deserves to be called the only begotten Son of God. The Greek is monogenes, which means the only genes, the only DNA of God today. The first scripture I'm going to read is Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26. Hebrews 7 verse 26 says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Praise God. I want you to notice, look at the series of praises and accolades that are showered upon Jesus Christ. He is called holy, harmless, undefiled. How can He be undefiled? Amen. There's only one way, if His flesh is from heaven. Separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, praise God. I have news for you. Whatever is in heaven, whether it's angels, cherubim, seraphim, whatever, the flesh of Jesus is made higher than all of it, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That is why when He was born, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, God said to the angels, "Worship the first begotten." Amen. I mentioned it before, but for the benefit of those who might not have heard it before, and for the benefit of our would-be visitors, potential visitors, because we put all of this up on the website, if you look at Hebrews 1 verse 6, again, when He bringeth the first begotten. What does the word first begotten mean? I asked a oneness preacher who believed the flesh of Jesus is from the dust. I said, "What does first begotten mean?" He said, "Of course, it's the flesh." I said, "God is saying, when He brought the first begotten, that is the flesh, into the world, He told the angels of God to worship Him." So I asked Him the question, "Can you worship something which is not God?" He said, "No, we can only worship God." So I said, "Does it not mean then that the flesh of Jesus, together with the Spirit of the Father in Him, is together God, one person today?" So because he was telling me that he does not worship the flesh of Jesus. I don't understand how that is possible. How can you decide if Jesus appeared to you right now? Would you not worship the God that is in that flesh together as one person? But you see, this minister, God bless him, I'm still praying for him, he was playing intellectual gymnastics with me. He was trying to separate and he was trying to lower the flesh of Jesus, and he tried, because he understood that if he believed it's from Mary, he felt he could not worship it. So he was worshipping a Christ who is divided. But the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is Christ divided? The answer is no. 1,000 times no, praise God. When the angels saw the baby who was born, they worshipped, hallelujah, the one God who they could see, who is come in flesh, praise God, hallelujah. They worshipped the Spirit, the flesh, the blood, everything together, praise God, amen, hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus. If I decide to give you a compliment, I cannot decide that I'm going to speak or I'm going to give the compliment only to your flesh and not to your spirit. We do not give compliments to dead people, amen, because they don't know how to appreciate it, amen. And you cannot give it to only somebody's spirit. Amen. You cannot separate the two, praise God. This is games people are playing. But anyhow, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brothers and sisters, what is the revelation today of who Jesus is? Notice that Jesus asked the question. Let us go back one scripture before that, verse 15. In verse 15, we read how that there was a bit of a commotion. You see, in the beginning, let me back up a little bit more. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, let us see from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You see, when Jesus asked this question, who the Son of Man is, praise God. Today people are confused with the term Son of Man, and we need one whole Bible study to deal with that subject. But he asked the question, who is the Son of Man? You see, the answers came, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Why were these answers not sufficient? Simple. These are all from the dust, praise God. Hallelujah. They came from the dust, and they have gone back to the dust, praise God. This is the hall of dust, praise God, amen. It has nothing to do with Jesus, hallelujah, praise God. These are all dustmen, amen. So, he was not satisfied with this answer, praise God, because you cannot put these dust people with Jesus, praise God. Verse 15, he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? You see, the world has many funny opinions about Jesus. They say he is dual nature. They say he has a multiplicity of wills. They say that Jesus is a demi-god, that he's a semi-god, or all kinds of confusion. But Jesus wants to know what we who follow him believe about him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you see, there was a silence at that moment. Praise God. Because nobody received the revelation. They knew what he was talking about, but somehow the revelation had to come from heaven, praise God. And in the midst of this silence, praise God, the apostle Peter exploded, hallelujah, and said, hallelujah, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, praise God. Amen, hallelujah. And that silence, hallelujah, which the apostle Paul broke and exploded, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, is still sounding today, praise God. We are the ones who have to shout, praise God. As Brother Degu once said, in the middle of the silence, we have to explode and jump up and not put Jesus with the dust category of people today, praise God, amen. We got to stand up taller than all those who are saying he is like Elijah, he is human, he is flesh, he is like you and me. We got to jump up higher than them because of the revelation we receive, hallelujah, from the apostles of Jesus, and shout higher than any of them. Thou art the Christ, the Son, not of Mary, hallelujah, not of Adam, not of Abraham, not of Solomon, not of Jeconiah, praise God. But you are the Son of the living God, hallelujah, praise God. Your flesh is from heaven, hallelujah, amen. And Jesus said, Blessed art thou. If you have this revelation, brother and sister, you are blessed, praise God. I can personally testify to you today that ever since I received this revelation 4-5 years ago in Ethiopia, I felt that 5,000 tube lights were turned on in my soul, praise God. I remember having 2 weeks of discussion with Brother Tekle Mariam, and I did not agree, and I wanted to take the first plane ticket back home because I thought he was in some kind of a funny doctrine. But one night when I was reading his green book in the house, in that villa in Gofar Safir, that night the revelation hit me 12 o'clock. I wrote the time down, and I was jumping up and down in the room like a crazy man, praise God, like a gazelle. And I understood the revelation, praise God, amen. And ever since that time, this revelation has been driving me. It is a force. It is a living force. I can sincerely tell you, praise God, that it is this revelation, hallelujah, which has spurred me to travel to India or Kenya or Ghana and there are many other countries waiting the revelation of the origin of the flesh of Jesus Christ. It has a tremendous power. It has a tremendous force, praise God. I felt that I had not been exalting Jesus like He should be exalted before. Hallelujah. Something was missing. Hallelujah. And from that time, praise God, a new anointing came. A new power came. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. What came upon me and what will come upon you is the blessing that Jesus pronounced on Peter when He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," praise God. "Blessed art thou, blessed are you if you have this revelation today, brothers and sisters. It will be like fire which is shut up in your bones." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It might shake up organizations. People might not like you, but we are not in the business of trying to be liked. Amen. That is never my stated mission in life, to be liked by anybody. Praise God. All our mission is to be liked by Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the last scripture is the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, which says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." I want to end with that. Notice Isaiah said, "Unto us a son is given." Hallelujah. In other words, the son did not originate with us. Hallelujah. If a son is given to you, it is a gift, praise God. Find out who gave it. Hallelujah. But people are saying He became a human being like you and me. That is complete nonsense. Amen. The Bible is saying, "Unto us the Son is given." Hallelujah. It is a gift. Hallelujah. Here, receive the Son, praise God, if you will, and call Him the Son of God. God bless you in Jesus' name. Let us bow our heads for a moment and let us thank Him. God bless you for your patience. I know I've been long-winded and taken a lot of time, but I felt in my spirit a burden after last Sunday to try to tackle this issue and to have it thoroughly with all the scriptures and everything, so that the people of God who believe this truth can help other people. I believe the last man who came towards the end, I think, I'm not sure if he's in the room. No, his name I think was Judah. He was beginning to consider this truth, and he was beginning to look at it a bit more carefully. We got to pray for him. Praise God. Amen. So let us pray. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, we thank You for this opportunity, Lord God. Hallelujah. We who are so unworthy, amen, to even take the name of Jesus upon our lips, hallelujah, praise God. We who are unworthy, O God, to be called by that mighty holy name, praise God. Amen. But we who You have decided to call, and You have called us Your brothers, hallelujah, praise God. You did not call us even servants. You said the servant does not know what the master does, but You know all things, hallelujah, and You called us Your friends. What a high privilege You have bestowed upon us today, Lord God. And we feel so humbled right now, Jesus. We feel Your presence in Your spirit. We have done what we can, Lord Jesus, right now, amen, with conviction in our hearts, with integrity, hallelujah, to proclaim that which we believe in. And not only do we believe in this truth, Lord God, hallelujah, but You have allowed us to suffer in a small way for this truth, which is nothing, hallelujah, amen, because You have suffered greater things for us, amen, and we are willing to suffer whatever we have to suffer for this revelation that You gave Your servant and Your people, praise God, through Your holy leaders, praise God, like Brother Tekle Mariam and others, hallelujah. Lord, we thank You, and we know, understand that we also have a responsibility together with them, amen, to take this truth all over the world, hallelujah, hallelujah, to every corner of the world. And we ask You to equip us, Lord God. We ask You to give this revelation to those in this room that do not have this revelation, Jesus. Those who are in the valley of decision, amen, who do not know, who are halting between two opinions, who are halting between two Jesuses, who is fully human and fully divine or whatever. Oh God, have mercy upon them. Dispel these clouds of confusion. Dispel these fogs, these cobwebs, Lord God, of uncertainty and ambiguity, praise God. And let the clear light, hallelujah, shine from heaven, amen, and bring peace, bring stability, hallelujah. Let them know that Your flesh, amen, does not share anything in common with humanity, but it is a veil the new and living way consecrated for us, by which we can enter the Holy of Holies, as the writer of Hebrews wrote. In Jesus' name, grant your grace to your people right now. O Lord God, hallelujah. We understand they have many things to do, and there are many small concerns in their daily lives, Lord God, that they are trying to negotiate. But I pray, Lord God, hallelujah, because we feel an urgency in our spirit that our time is soon up. The signs are around us, praise God. Amen. It is only by your grace, hallelujah, that you are extending the time today, hallelujah. But the word has gone out like it went out to Noah, that the end of all flesh has come before me to prepare an ark for our salvation. Jesus, bless them. Let them keep the things which are most important up above everything else. Let them prioritize the work of God and salvation more than anything else, Lord God. Hallelujah. In your precious name, we commit your people into your hands. Bless them right now as we commit the rest of this program into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the room said, Amen. God bless you. I yield the mic. God be with you.